civil procedure, we were talking about how to amend your pleadings. And the way to amend pleadings is governed by Rule 15. Rule 15 has three parts that we talked about. Rule 15A, Rule 15B, and Rule 15C. Rule 15A talks about the methods for amending with and without. Leave of the court, and leave is just referencing to have permission of the court. Rule 15B discusses how the amendments can occur during trial. We didn't talk about that at all during class, so we're not going to talk about it during this episode. But then Rule 15C discusses how to relate back to the original pleading after something like the statute of limitations has already passed, and as a result, otherwise you wouldn't be able to amend the pleadings. So let's go into these three things: amending without leave of the court, amending with leave of the court before trial, and then amending after the statute of limitations has already passed. So, amending without leave of the court. Rule 15A talks about several ways that you can amend without leave of the court. It's pretty straightforward. First, you can amend your original complaint within 21 days of actually filing the original complaint. This is a one-off freebie. You're only allowed to amend your complaint once without permission of the court. The second way that you can do this is you can amend the original pleading within 21 days of serving a responsive complaint. Pleading. And this will be, responsive pleading is something like a counterclaim. However, a party will still be able to amend within a certain amount of time after the opposition files a 12B6 or a 12E or a 12F. So let's go ahead and talk about having leave of the court, getting the court's permission to amend. We have a case here, Beek v. Aqua Sliding Dive Corp. And this was a situation where there was an accident with a pool slide. And Beek had accused Aqua Slide of having of manufacturing the slide, and Aqua Slide originally, in their original pleading, said, yes, this is our slide. They relied on several insurance companies to determine that. And then later, they got out there, looked at the slide, and they were like, this is not our slide, so we want to amend our pleading. But by that point, 21 days had passed, we were in discovery, and so they need to get permission from the court. And Rule 15A2 states, in all other cases, meaning when you need permission, a party may amend its pleading only with the opposing party's written consent of the court's leave. The court should freely give leave when justice so requires. The whole point of bringing up this case is because the court granted leave. And the court granted leave because they took into consideration several factors. They looked at the stage of the litigation. They looked at the reason for the amendment, the validity of the amended claim or the defense, why it wasn't included in the original pleading, and ultimately they're just seeing, is there bad faith, is there prejudice against the other side, or was there undue delay in creating this amendment? So a court is going to be pretty free with granting leave unless if there's a really good reason not to grant leave, and that's the big takeaway. And the good reason to not grant leave is if it prejudices the other, your opponent from being able to create a defense. Now, amending after the limitations period can get a little complex. There's two things that you can do. You can either amend your claims or you can amend your parties. But as far as amending claims go, Rule 1512C talks about needing to relate back. And we have a case here, Bonham versus Richard G. Carson Foundation. And this person was in a rehab center facility. He was playing basketball. He was required to play basketball, and he got hurt. And he sues originally for negligence of maintenance of the court. And later, he wants to amend, saying there was also counsel malpractice because this was a required activity. And so the fact that this was required and you weren't properly supervising also plays a role in this. And the court allows, in this instance, to relate back. Why? Well, there's two requirements to actually relate back. First, the claim must relate back, obviously. And then second, they must still obtain leave to amend. So you need to have both of these in order for it to be successful. But to show that a claim relates back, the person requesting the amendment needs to show that both claims, so in this instance, the maintenance negligence and the counsel malpractice, they both come from a common nucleus of operative fact. And the reason for having this common nucleus of operative facts is because it puts the defendant on notice. And it puts them on notice because the defendant should be able to say, well, this came from the same fact pattern, so we have this material already. We just really need to adjust to account for this additional legal claim that is being made. One last thing to note about this case, though, is that it obtained leave in the early stages of discovery, and so there was no complications with that because there wasn't a good reason to deny leave, so leave was freely granted. The second case that we have related to amending claims is Moore v. Baker, and this was an instance where the claims did not relate back. The first suing was for an informed consent, meaning you didn't tell me of any different procedures that could have been available. And then the second claim that they wanted to add on was malpractice during the surgery. So the reason why these don't relate back is because there's not enough connection or relation between the two different fact patterns. Because for the first one, the informed consent, you have to be looking, what did he say? What did he tell me about? Or so forth. But for the surgery, it's like, okay, so now what did he do during the surgery? Was there actual malpractice during the surgery? And you look at them and they're separate. So you can't really focus on how they relate back together. But even if that wasn't enough, even if they did relate back, the court would have rejected this as well. And the reason for this is because they would not have obtained leave. It was too late into the discovery period. It was just before summary judgment. So they waited too long. And as a result, there was a good reason to dismiss. So this really illustrates the 2 points of making sure it relates back, and you do that by looking at the common nucleus of operative fact, and then you need to obtain leave from the court to amend. Those two elements must be met in order to actually find a successful amendment. When it comes to amending parties, though, this is outlined in Rule 15C, subsection 1, and then subsection C of that. And it just says that if a plaintiff makes a mistake, then they can, if they provide proper notice to the actual party. So say they make a mistake in the name, they spelled it wrong, or they sued the wrong party. If they provide proper notice to the correct party, or if the correct party receives proper notice within 90 days, and that's established according to Rule 4M, then they can amend to rectify this mistake, even if the statute of limitations has already occurred. So in other words, we're going to focus on what the defendant knew. Did the defendant have notice? And if so, the defendant does not have any prejudice against them because they already have the necessary facts there. They're going to keep it because they know that they could be sued for those things, so they can't destroy that evidence. So it makes sense to, if they have notice, you can still sue them, as long as it's within a reasonable time of 90 days as outlined in Rule 4M. But if the plaintiff makes a deliberate choice to sue the other party, well, then Rule 15C1C protects the defendant from having this amendment done against them. So to just summarize that, if there's a mistake, not a deliberate choice, well, then they can be granted leave to amend if the actual party knew or had reason to know that they were the wrong party, and they would have been sued if there was no mistake made, and then they receive proper notice within 90 days of the mistake. And once again, this is true regardless of whether or not the statute of limitations is run. So just to summarizing, you can amend without leave of the court. You can do that within 21 days, but you only have one chance to amend. Otherwise, you need leave of the court. Neither the court will be granted freely as long as there's justice. So there needs to be a good reason to not receive amendment. And then if it's after the limitations period, which is figured out in Rule 15C, as far as amending claims go, it needs to relate back to the original pleading, and you need to have obtained leave to amend. Both those elements must be met, must be early in the discovery period. And if there's a mistake, then if there's proper notice, ultimately it can relate back and it's completely fine, even though the statute of limitations has already run. So that's the amended pleadings process. That's finishing up pleadings. And next week, or really later this week, we'll get into how we'll start moving into discovery. So I'm pretty excited about that. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials. And the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.